Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
We are back and up and about, guys. We're talking about round 15 and the successful round that it was and how we're going to be taking shots of rum every Friday night. Let's go!
Just done it from nowhere.
G'day and welcome again to the Ball Boys AFL Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at Ball Boys Fantasy. And I am joined once again by my co-host, Luke Rogerson. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, mate. I have acknowledged my role on the podcast once again as the shit kicker. But I'm happy to report that you are moving up the rankings and you killed it this weekend, mate.
We said off the top of the show, this is a new process. We talk about process over results. Well, when they match up together, we've got to keep doing it, mate. Last week we had a few rums on the Friday Night Live show. You took them like a champ,
and yeah, handled it well.
Look, I produced a top 300 round rank for the week. So
this is unheard of. Is this a flash in the pan?
No. This is a sign of things to come, mate. This is my team finally getting the message 15 weeks late. That we're gonna storm home in the back half of the season.
All the players that have been killing you performed well, it seems. Actually, Max Holmes didn't go real well.
No, Max Holmes sucked.
Okay, and but outside of that,
I missed a couple of big scorers, but still, a couple of big unique players in my side that went big. We'll get to a few of them in the Bogs and Flogs segment. But before we go there, Luke, how did your team go?
Not well. I don't know how it compared to others for the round, but 1907 and. I can't even remember what my rank was prior to this week, but I'm mid to late 6,000s, if I'm honest with myself.
That's a move up or barely?
It seems very same for me. But
well, I moved up to 3,372, which is my highest rank since, I think, since I went camping.
Okay.
I think the week we went camping.
The big camping trip, the infamous camping trip.
The week before. I was about this spot, and then 10,000 ranks backwards. But
points-wise, how far from, say, top 1,000, do you know, roughly?
I'm not getting that excited.
So you're saying there's a chance?
No, but...
Let's go.
But I do feel like it was a good step for Mitchmond this past week. So we'll see if we can capitalize and keep moving on.
Beautiful. Let's talk camel first,
eh? Let's get humpy. My hump. All right, hump of the week. Well, camel of the week for the thirsty boy.
Don't tell us your hump of the week.
let's go. Is going to. Well, speaking of humping, horny. Take it away here, Luke, because this is your man here. I preached all week about not bringing this man in. I take a little bit of responsibility here because he was high in my trade targets until I saw the video of him.
Yeah, this was not your fault. This was quite clearly my fault. All last week, if you want to go back and check it out, I was absolutely no on the horny. I said he didn't play the role that we wanted. He obviously got the stinger. You know, why do we expect him to come back in injured and now play the role that we want? I said, don't trade this guy in. And what did I do? I traded this guy in. Yeah. I was 4K short. I think it was 2K short of... were they 4K apart, Sam Darcy?
Yes, and they
Horny?
Were 4K
okay,
apart.
Okay, so I think I was 2K short. I had 2K left over after I traded in Horn Francis. I much would have preferred Darcy. And with hindsight, I definitely would have preferred Darcy. So horny boy, it was disgraceful. One arm or not, just don't give me that rubbish.
Yeah, just, I mean, disgusting. The reason I went away from Horne Francis was the footage, you know, of him trying to catch the ball. Like, he was walking around with
limp biscuit. It was
with one arm just absolutely not moving at all. No. And what I thought was a good fitness test on the radio, turns out they were banging his wrong shoulder. It wasn't the right shoulder, it was the wrong shoulder, Luke. It was his left, and he'd injured his right, had strapping on the right. So that was some terrible gear from Triple M, I think it was.
I think regardless of that, the problem was the lack of CBAs. He played forward in a game, or half forward in a game, where Mitch Georgiades kicked 7 goals the week before. So all the flags were there. So
The man couldn't tackle. Like, one tackle. Yeah. And he can't play in the midfield when he's playing with one shoulder. He can only take chest marks, basically.
Maybe I'm the camel of the week because I just hate points.
Yeah, I think that could be something.
Let's get positive and absorbent and yellow and porous.
Mm. Who lives in a pineapple under the sea? Absorbent and yellow and porous is he.
Absorbent and yellow and porous. You had the big score for this week, but you didn't have our absorbent sponge.
I didn't have this. So, man, imagine if I did. I would have been flying, but he might be so absorbent and porous that you reckon he might have sponged his way out of the team, perhaps.
The definition of sponge is not necessarily playing really well. It's just getting points where you really shouldn't. And yep. Sam Doherty typified that on the weekend for mine. I think he had 16 marks. You can fact check me, Mitch. But
he did. He had Carlton, 16 marks.
So you might have seen the final score in the Carlton-North Melbourne game, and it looks somewhat respectable. But North Melbourne,
they pumped him.
They made Carlton look silly in the second and third quarters. And Sam Doherty wasn't horrific, but there were a couple of points there where he just overran the footy, or he bit off a kick that was never there. So I don't know what Vossi chooses to do.
Well, he's under the pump, I'm hearing. You know, a bit of questions for his job.
Well, the performance on the weekend, you know, probably explains that a little bit. And it would just depend on who he's going to put in the gun. But I think he's going to make some statements. Let's hope if you own Sam Doherty, it's not the doctor.
Yeah, well, 131 at least for this week is a massive, massive score for someone who is still priced at 800,000. He's been a great pick since coming off his buy round, 112, 71, 131. So in his last three, averaging 105 points when he was priced at basically 20 points or a little bit more than 20 points below that, essentially. Maybe 25 points below that. So good return so far. Let's see how long it can last. But I think, you can't complain with that score. If you're looking to buy into him, I think it might be a bit too late. But yeah, great, great spongy behaviour.
Let's rewind to Thursday night with some bogs and flogs.
And the winner of the Norm Smith medal.
You're an embarrassment to what you do, mate.
All right, who's a legend this one?
The bog in this guy, I reckon he might have had a shot of Bailey's from a shoe prior to stepping out.
Yeah, old Greg, mate.
Killed
old Greg.
It.
Luke Jackson, he relished in the opportunity to not only have the solo ruck role with no Sean Darcy there, he went up against a debutante in a game where, if I do remember, they smashed them. So, the stars aligned for Luke Jackson to absolutely have a massive, massive game. He was the number one forward target. If I had an extra 100K, I would have gone there, but happy with my trade-in. But he, massive, massive game. Does he hold out Sean Darcy with performances like this?
I wrote in my round review for the Patreon members, why would you bring Sean Darcy back into the team? I think they look more dynamic with Luke Jackson in there. Admittedly, Essendon haven't been setting the world on fire, but
two rucks just doesn't work in 2025, does it?
The thing here is, if you've got a ruckman like a Luke Jackson, he's had 21 touches, which is fantastic. He obviously dominated the hitouts, but the 3 goals is killer. So again, I know that they walked all over Essendon, but the fact that you've got a guy who's athletic enough to do his work in the middle and push forward, it's very impressive. Shout out to Caleb Sarong, who killed it again this
week. My boy Sarong. Always believed in him. 100 averaging player.
Talk me through the flog in this game, because I cannot get my head around this.
Well, he's tagged. So Zach Merritt is the flog in this one.
He's playing 50% CBA.
He is having a rough time of it. So his last 4 games, he's gone 57, 94, 79, 94. He went the 149 and then a 54 the game before that. So this is his second 50 in 6 weeks. And only one ton in that time. Now, it was a 150. But He is plummeting in value. And if you held on just to get to his buy, he absolutely kicks you in the nuts this week, because that is no way to send your team off into going into your buy round, because I'd imagine he'd be in a lot of rage trades this week, Luke, because that is a very shit score.
To keep with the motif of testicles on the gyprock, I will be trading him in next week.
Yeah, in round, yeah, going into the Gold Coast
matchup. Coming in. Why not?
I mean, his break even is 136. I do think you will want him for that Richmond matchup. Maybe go another 150.
Mate, for me, where I'm ranked, it doesn't matter. Geelong and Brisbane. Josh Dunkley is... there's talk, obviously, of him playing a more defensive role. This is what he can do still in that defensive role. I don't know that there's anyone that can score the way he does, even when he's playing that kind of like lockdown guy at stoppage. So a couple of quiet ones, but Dunkley, repay the faith if you
have. This is the third time this season he's had 10 tackles in a game. He's also had another game with 9 tackles, 2 other games with 8 tackles. He's just one of the best in the business at doing that. And so a lot of people were hoping to trade him out this round. Maybe this is enough to keep him in your side, but he was always capable of doing this. So shout out to him. Kai Lohman, I'm giving the flog.
Bit harsh.
No, it's not harsh, because where was this the week before when I had him in my side? I traded this man out because he's a sub risk and he's an injury risk.
Yeah.
And no, he comes out, has the quarter of his life in the first quarter. He took a massive pack mark, like I think the first or second play of the game. It actually got like overruled, and one of his teammates pushed someone in the contest. So had he done that, it would have been another 12 points going to him. So I think that's his biggest score of the season on the week that I trade him out right before his bye. So he just gets the flog for my selfish reasons, the fact that I traded him out and he's gone on to flourish without me. It's just, he won the breakup, Luke, and we don't stand for that here in this podcast.
In the Carlton-North Melbourne game we mentioned before, I'm going to give the bog here to Colby McKercher. He didn't ton up. He scored 99, but just watching this game, he's had 29 touches, he's kicked 2 goals, and he was a huge reason in that second quarter for North Melbourne getting on top. He scored 40 points in that second quarter, and he looked every bit what we want off halfback. The only little thing there is he looked so good that I think teams might even give him some attention.
Well, he started to get a little bit of that, didn't he? Am I right in saying that?
Well, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that now. It's a good segue, actually, because the flog in this one is Michael Voss.
What the fuck, man?
The attention... look, I wasn't watching this super closely. The commentators did call it at one point, but are we really giving Caleb Daniel attention?
See, this to me is hilarious. If Caleb Daniel, who we've talked about him a few times this season, saying he might not be in their best 22, he might be someone who could be on the outers of that team. And if he's copping a tag attention in a game where you've got Harry Sheezel, you've got Tom Power, you've got Colby McKercher, you've got LD fucking U, you've got all these other threats there that actually do a lot for this team. It blows my mind that they've come into this game and gone to Caleb Daniel as their first tag.
I think, like you said, maybe as the game wore on, I think maybe that attention went across. But the only thing that held Colby back was a poor start, to be honest, which is funny considering the attention maybe started with Daniel. He scored 9 points in the first quarter and then obviously 90 thereafter.
Yeah.
So well done, Colby. And
can I give a shout out as well to Harry fucking Sheezel, who scored 116 with 1 CBA?
Yeah. He's a gun.
1 CBA. I can't say the best fantasy player in the game, but he's up there. He's top 5.
I said this last week. I said, if I was coaching Harry Sheezel, I would just say, mate, you go wherever you want and you do whatever you want. And it feels like he's doing that. If he wants to push up the ground and get around stoppage, he can. So I think that despite the seemingly poor role, we still love that guy.
I'd love to do a rankings one day where you just go, if the player was playing in their perfect position, you could guarantee that. Who would be the best fantasy player between him, Rowan Marshall, Bailey Smith?
Yeah.
There's some really, really gun players out there. I think he would definitely be consideration for top of the list.
Did you catch the Port Sydney game at all, man?
I did not catch this one. Or actually, did I? I think I caught a little bit of this one. Not the entire game, but The bog on this one goes to Brody Grundy, who I think had a massive last quarter, I want to say. Yeah, 49-point last quarter, which you love to see. A lot of people traded him in off the Max Gorn last week, and were looking for that instant reward, and they got it, 121. He was in the big boys for the first time of the season, or maybe the second time this season, and repaid the faith in a game where, really, there wasn't too much to really get excited about from a fantasy point of view. I mean, Heaney scored 111 and I believe was also getting some attention early on, but that obviously didn't work, and Sydney got the W. So, Grundy, for those of you who traded him in last week, he gets the bog.
Well, speaking of not excited, I'll tell you who wasn't exciting, and that's Chad Warner. He hasn't done well in his last three outings, and I'm thinking of giving Warner a warning.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah, no, very disappointing. And he's also seeing a little bit of a dip in his CBAs, I believe, as well. We had Errol Goulden return, although he wasn't back to his Errol Goulden ways, like my spicy take predicted. He is someone that can play forward. He played 37% CBAs after 42-47 the two prior. So you look at that nice stretch of green, that's where Chad Warner was going well with 70, 78, 73, 74, 61, 77% CBAs. And his last three, like you mentioned, 42, 47, and 37 is coincided with his poor scoring. So if that's a clear role shift, he might be someone that needs to be traded. I thought that he would just get more involved as one of the best players in that team, but if they're going to use him more forward like they are at the moment, he can't really hang around in our sides.
Collingwood and St Kilda, I don't think either of us caught this one, but Wang is the best on ground. You guys know I could talk Wang all day, but let's just say D1 Wang, potentially.
I think I'm going to go out on a limb and say this. I think he is
what
now...
limb?
Yeah, nice. The third one. Or the fifth one? I don't know. I'm going to go out and say that I think he is the highest averaging defender now on the season. I want to say it was Rosie. Yeah, he's pipped Rosie. He pipped Lockie Whitfield, obviously, who went down with an injury. So he is now the highest averaging defender. And I want to say he is like getting pretty close to highest averaging player. So the only players that are averaging more than him are Max Gorn, Tim English.
We'll talk about him in a sec.
And Jordan Dawson. So the fourth highest averaging player. Oh, sorry. And also, of course, Bailey Smith. So fifth highest averaging player on the season is our boy Wang.
It's good.
What a gun. What a jet.
I mean, his counterpart in Jack Sinclair, we often think of those two together, is the flog in this game because
bow-bow.
I don't know what happened, but Jack Sinclair just did not have a good night. So if you've got Sinclair and no Wang, you need to correct that emphasis on the erect.
Nice. Yeah, Sinclair, five kick-ins to Wang, seven. One CBA for Sinclair. He's just getting outshone.
Let's move to Sunday. And I wrote in my review as well that you were in the full upright and locked position on Sunday.
This was my day.
This was your day. So I'll let you take it.
So I could have a couple of bogs in this game because, well, the bog we're going to give it to is Noah fucking Anderson. Now, this is the kind of score I want to see when you get 40 touches. Mm. Now, still didn't quite bring the marks and tackles, but when you kick a couple of goals, that definitely brings things over in your favor. And I believe he kicked a goal extremely late in this game, 40 points in that final quarter to get himself to 133. As a unique pick for me, I thought this might be a trouble game where he gets a bit of a Bedford tag, but no, none of that here. He just cruises through and, has a massive game. Great game, this one as well. The what do they call it? The expansion clash?
Well, the Suns kicked four goals in about 4 minutes to start this game. And then it was just GWS kind of picking away at it, and then in the fourth quarter running away with it. So the flog in this one, I'm giving it to Big Kingy because he laid out a very fantasy relevant Lockie Whitfield on 27. So
look, this not only hurt owners, but this hurt my captain picker picks because he was number three on the big boys, and it's plummeted my rankings now because I'm still number one, but I would have been far and away ahead of the season ranking. So I've got our number one lead, 10 points over Vissalate, who's my nemesis. But if I didn't have Lockie Whitfield in there at number three, I'd have been soaring off into the sunset. So it sucks if you did. And I know someone tagged me on Twitter saying they had the captaincy on him. And I did not know this, Luke. I thought this was not the case, but if you captain Lockie Whitfield and his 46 points,
yeah,
which you would have got, 46 points, a lot of the times that wouldn't have counted in your best 18, right?
Yeah.
You have to take that.
What?
You have to take your
so you
captain's
can't
score.
Not have a captain.
So that actually would have bumped out another higher score.
No.
Which is apparently what happens. No. I need someone to confirm or deny this because I thought that it would just be your best 18 regardless. You don't get your vice captain. That doesn't tick over. But you don't get your captain's. But apparently, in the rules, your captain's score has to count. Oh, so
that is
imagine just... not only getting 56 from your captain, but that 56 bumping out a better score.
Salt in the wounds.
That would... I'd actually quit. I'd actually genuinely quit after that because that is... That's the height of unlucky.
Well, you didn't quit because it went from good to gooder in the last game
for
you. It wasn't good for the Tigers, but it was good for Mitch's fantasy team.
Yeah. Tim English. Yeah, good English there. So, this man is the GOAT. He is the best player that's ever been.
I never doubted you in the preseason too, never mate. Backed you.
Yeah, and after round one, we had zero issues. We were always backing our man in. 138 and just dominated this game. Kicked two goals, intercept marks, was calling for little cheap balls. We liked that. And just got around the ground really, really well. 138, averaging 110. The fourth highest averaging player in the competition, the second highest averaging ruck. Just give it up to the great man. He's back. You can't deny that it's officially Tim English season again. He's doing his thing.
We loved watching it. What we didn't love watching was, I've got written here 4K. And
yeah, explain to this to me.
I'm talking dollars because this me was the difference between the
Sam Darcy
Hornmeister and yep. Sam Darcy.
This $4,000, the most important 4K.
If I ask you the question, Mitch, which of your co-hosts has been the one that has had his testicles mostly on the jip rock over the last couple of weeks? Which co-host would it be?
The only one I've got.
It would be me,
yeah,
wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So I would have done this pick. This pick would have been right up my alley.
Yeah. And I did it.
Yeah.
And this is not normally a move that I would do, but I had not much other choice.
You know, jokes aside, Sam Darcy's a fucking weapon.
Oh, he's an absolute weapon. I will say, I thought that Noah Bolter would actually be a decent opponent for him. He looked absolutely out sea against Sam Darcy. He was trying to do too much because I think he's used to being the most athletic player out there and being able to close that gap and he gives him a bit of space and he comes in. You can't do that with Darcy.
Darcy looks like you have to
be right up behind him. Like, you know,
he's like a Wemby AFL equivalent. Yeah, the way
length and the reach.
He looks like a praying mantis. But
he stands out there. It's like, it's hard not to kick in the ball. He's just such a big target. So, well, interesting to see how he goes.
I'd love to have you at the Oxlons, mate, but not to be.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk some strategy.
So, it is the final bye round. We've made it, Luke. And this normally is where we should be making sure that our team is complete.
I kind of want the byes to continue because my team ain't going to be complete. I'm going to be, as Xavier Ellis would say, swimming naked on the beach.
How many rookies do you still have on field?
About 18.
How many do you have?
The trouble here is normally if you end up naked on the beach, like Zave says, it's because you've been sideways in premiums to get good scores in the bye round. I've made my team worse without actually improving my rake.
You've crossed off all the rules. You've not done a single one.
I have. I think I'm going to have at least... Well, some of these mid prices are sketchy at best.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll have one rookie still on the field.
Okay.
I'll probably be able to get him off, but the issue is the quality of players that aren't rookies.
Yeah. So my question today is when I started doing my trades this week, I've gone to look at the downgrades, and in a weird turn of events, I haven't felt like this at all this season.
God, no.
There's some rookie downgrades. There's some negative break evens going around. We've got players like McCarthy, who's a must have. He's got a negative, negative 25 break even. We've got Manny Liddy. Big 296.
The leg sleeve Liddy.
Yeah, loves a leg sleeve. Negative 10 break
him,
even.
Right?
That's him.
Getting around the leg sleeve.
We've got Tyrell Dewar.
Get him on your radar.
He's got a negative 14 break even. And even next week, we can't get him this week, but Harry Rouston, he's got a negative break even as well. So we've got four players in the negatives when it comes to break evens. I don't know if I can remember any round outside of maybe the first couple where we had that. We've even got Vicentini, who's got negative one as a ruck
on the
bye. But still, so five negative break evens.
Triple downgrade.
Legit, I'm considering it.
Oh,
is this
my.
An actual option? Considering, so I still have one more rookie left to upgrade to get to my full squad of premiums. Now, there's five trades between now and the next time we have 22 premiums.
Bank some cash, guarantee the upgrade next week.
So that's what I'm thinking. Banking some cash, get these... all three, so I need to get McCarthy, Liddy, and Dewar into my squad. I would have to miss one of them to get an upgrade. And even if by doing that, because some of them are a little bit more expensive, especially like a Dewar, the upgrade I can get might not be, like, it's not a Jordan Dawson type. But next week, it could be if I bank the cash this week and get the cash in. So is that a play to delay that upgrade? It also means, like, I'm going to have 22 on field this week regardless.
Yep.
Is that a play, or should we bank the upgrade now while we can? Because the risk is, well, what if there's carnage? What if there's injuries or multiple injuries next week and then I'm stuck with another rookie on field? That being said, maybe Tom McCarthy can pop out another 100 for us and be on field.
Some might have said that about Zach Johnson this week. I think it's definitely a play. The bit that I would like to kind of pencil in, if I'm going to go triple downgrade this week, I wouldn't mind getting maybe two upgrades next week. If I could go straight to the top and get a Jordan Dawson and then also get, let's say, somebody that I'm not fully convinced on, let's call it, if, you know, for me, I've still got fucking Matt Roberts there, or I've got Caleb Daniels.
Yeah, Caleb Daniel,
so I'd like to, if I was to put myself in that position and do a triple downgrade.
Maybe do like a sideways and then...
Next week.
You've only got two trades next week, so remember that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, if you're able to pocket enough cash, getting like the big upgrade to Dawson,
like,
and then also getting
like 500K or something like that. Yeah.
Depends who you're going down from as well. Depends who you're obviously cashing in to get these downgrades. You mentioned Dewar is pretty expensive, so I'm looking at my bench and thinking there's not really much cash on the bench at the moment that I can take down.
Yeah, there's not much for me either. Like, I'm trading out players like Clark. In my initial trade plans, I'm sending Zach Johnson straight back out. Traded him in last week for the 57K, sending him right back out on his buy. I've got me goat, Isaac Keeler here, who's probably made 30K in 2 weeks. He's going out, which is actually an upgrade. I'm upgrading him to Dewar. It's costing me another 100 or 90K. So, but there's just, I don't know, there's something about making the most of this cash, which is staring us right in the face this week, where we haven't had much of that. And just in the situation that I'm in, if I already have 22 players playing, yes, I could make a rookie a premium, but that's going to be the difference between, you know, like a 60 on field, 70 on field. Like, I dropped off 70 last week.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm probably in that case making 30, 35 points potentially.
So what's the caliber of player that you're playing in? Like, give me the last spot in each line this week.
So the last spot for defense would be either McCarthy or Smith, Smith. In the midfield, I've got seven midfield premiums playing and Liddy. So you'd think he drops off. And I've got Dewar in my forward premium. So I still have four rookies. I have 18 premiums playing this week.
Yeah.
So by upgrading this week, I'm going to go to 19 premiums. So I'm putting myself a little bit of a buffer. If a premium sucks, then their score can drop off. But how much am I actually gaining by upgrading this week versus making sure I get those negative break evens, get that extra 50K?
Yeah.
And then next week, make sure I can get a Dawson, or whether it's a Merritt coming into a nice fixture, or talk about Whitfield or something like that later. Those sort of like top of the line guys.
The trouble is as well, and it depends how bullish you are on some of these downgrades that Mitch is talking about. So let's say you don't have McCarthy, you don't have Dewar, and who was one of the other ones you talked
Liddy.
About? Liddy. And you want all three of those, and you also know that you probably want Roustan next week.
Yeah.
Well, if
I mean, he's still only 327. He's not right up there.
Trouble there is, if you let's say you go two of the three this week and mm-hmm. you want Roustan next week, you're missing one of them.
Yeah.
I think the only scenario where you get all four is where you go
you
all three
triple,
this week.
Yeah. Or so, you got some last week. So maybe you've already got a McCarthy and a Liddy sitting your side. Yeah.
And it depends how bullish you are. Dewar, of the four that he's, you've talked yeah. about, he's expensive. Like we're talking about a guy who's almost, you know, 500K. Yes, yeah. he's got a negative 14 break even. But the other thing about him too is that he's coming off a 115. I don't think that's kind of a sustainable number, and he doesn't go into necessarily easy matchups coming off his bye either.
Has he had a role change? Like, what? I need to go through and actually look at him. But
there's no CBAs in the.
Could he? Was he one of those guys that went from like a forward to like a wing or a half back role or something?
I think if I'm honest, he's actually just accessing a little bit more game time now as well. So yeah. he's kind of gone
Which
into
can
the.
Be big.
He's gone to sort of the 80%. 80% sort of role, but since coming back into the team outside of a 28% and a 10, it's looked a little bit more promising. So
yeah,
I don't think it's bad, but it is expensive.
Yeah, he would be the guy, if I had to cut out one, he would be the one that would make way. And this, again, is maybe a little bit selfish because this is how my team is structured up, but I think some other teams will be out there similarly positioned. If I would say, if you still had two rookies or two players that you really wanted to upgrade, you have to get one up this week because then you've still got another week next week and you want to enter that round 17, week with 22 premiums. And yeah. I'm using the word premiums a little bit loosely because in my team, I'm counting players like Daniel and whoever the hell I can turn these other guys into next week. So it's a little bit of a loose phrasing, but I still think that that is sort of what we want to be setting our sights on as the main priority. Doing this has a little bit of a risk, like we said, if there's an injury or something like that. But then again, maybe the cash next week would allow you to do more fix-ups, potentially. So anyway, that's just sort of where my brain initially went. It wasn't where I was expecting to go this week, but with just how some of those cheaper players went is something that I thought we should have a look at. I want to talk about best 22s as okay. well. And again, maybe some of the predictions on, and I want to talk also defense versus midfield, where we usually have, okay, six defenders, eight midfielders, six fours, two rucks.
Should I give the best boys graphic a run?
Yeah.
Let's talk best 22s. I haven't given the best boys graphic a run. If you just jump back on screen, that'd be good too.
Is the music going anymore?
No music linked, sorry.
Oh, my bad. I thought we had that music sound grabbed up. All right. Do we stop at six defenders? Or do we want more? I think we want more.
I think we want more because of how poor the midfield is this year. Some of the names that you can obviously get in the defensive line that also have midfield status are pretty impressive. And if we look at the 8th ranked midfielder currently, I'd hazard a guess that the 6th ranked defender is likely outscoring them.
So let's figure this out. So we've got Dawson at number 1. We've got Brayshaw at number 2. At number 3, we have Jai Caldwell, which is a little bit of a surprise at 106. At number 4, we've got Nick Dacos at 103. Look, we're already down there. We're 103, Nick Dacos.
And we're only at 4 midfielders.
That is wild.
And I think you'll find it drops off sharply as sort of
M7, and we've got a bunch M8. Of 102s around here, like McCluggage, Dunkley, Libar. Noah Anderson's there at 101.
Yeah.
George Hewitt, 102. Like, it really starts to fall. So a lot of players in that 100 to 102 range. In the defense, the players averaging more than 104.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Or Connor Rosie, Nazia Wanganyi-Miller, Harry Sheezel, Dane Zorko,
Lockie Ash. And you pretty much count Whitfield in
you
this.
You count Whitfield because obviously his injured score is dragging that down. Nick Martin, if you wanted to include him. So there's already six defenders better than midfielders. You know,
One through four is
104, so they're comparable to the defense.
Yes, yeah. Sorry, outside of that, so 5 through 8, you've got defender
options.
But then
the other defenders are the same. So you've even got players like Sinclair, who's averaging 100.6. That's the same as some of the top 8 mids.
Yeah,
Max Holmes averaging 100. Josh Dacos is 95 the season, but more recently he's been going much better. So in his last 5, he's averaging 102.4. So a lot of these guys are matching it with them. So I think just being aware of just getting rid of that lens of we need the top 8 mids. We want the best 14 players,
of course,
across the defense and mids, because that's where most of the scoring is.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say on that is we need to be flexible in
with
terms of watching.
DDP
and or, sorry, I meant flexible in terms of not being pigeonholed into that strategy now and looking at runs, matchups, you know, these kind of things as well. Because there are some midfielders that will come into to good runs, and I know your nemesis luxury season is coming up soon.
Luxury season's looking a lot easier with a shit team. I'll tell you that much.
Trying to pick players that are coming into to positive runs. Can make a break. We've seen that this season. I reckon there's players that have been going poorly and then suddenly, hang on, they've turned around. Well, what's the difference? Yeah. They're playing against fucking Richmond. They're playing against a midfielder against Gold Coast.
There's some real easy beats out there.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. So something to keep in mind even if we start bringing in defenders.
Yeah. So I think something that I would always do is keep track of the best 8, best 6. I think keeping track of like those two positions, defense and mid, who's the top 14? Like, start to look at that. The top 15, top 14 averaging players, who do I project to be in that? DPP will become important. So, as shitty as he's been as a pick, like someone like an Angus Hasty might actually be a nice link between my defense and midfield at times this year. Someone like that, is it the Taru defender forward? He might provide Taru cards. He might provide some good flexibility. So just an interesting thing to keep an eye on as the season progresses. What about rucks? Talk to me about rucks. Because Tristan Sherry, he's been a little disappointing since we traded him in.
He's been a lot disappointing. To be fair, Carlton literally game planned for this guy. So they brought in Pitnet and obviously have DeConing as well.
And it didn't fucking work.
And it's almost like they spent so much kind of brain power stopping Tristan Sherry, they forgot to stop all the midfielders.
Yeah.
And North just cut them to pieces. So it didn't work from a game perspective, and it also didn't work from a fantasy perspective because we copped a stinky score.
Yeah, so he goes on an okay run. So he's got, who's he got? Hawthorn this week, which is decent. Then he's got Tim English, which is easy, but not as easy as it was last year. No. Max in round 18 is a hard matchup. Grundy. Then he comes into a really nice run to close out the season in Geelong, St Kilda, GWS, Richmond, and a hard one in the last round against Adelaide. So is he still the expected number one or two ruckman for the year? Or are there some other hands coming up? Tim English.
I think it's hard to go against Max. Even though he's coming into a tough run, I still think that you have to have him at R1. I'll go Max, English, Sherry, Marshall.
So the other news was Marshall was talking about battling some injuries as well.
That's why I've popped him down the bottom there. And I think
he still scored a 105 against Collingwood, who are not an easy matchup. Still played 80%, 87% tog. I'd love for someone to tell me how he looked as I missed this game to the eye and how he was running.
Tall, I think, and on two legs.
Yeah, fair. I can't shake the feeling that I think he could be the number one averaging ruckman for the rest of the season.
Ooh.
If he's healthy, if he's good, I think he has the tools to be the top guy.
He's got the resume. Let's talk forwards because
forwards suck.
He's stanky.
Yeah, they're bad.
What's going on? Bailey Smith, top of the tree.
Top of the tree, but didn't turn up for the first time in a long time. Had the tough matchup. Brisbane are tough. And look, a lot of the times we can get really comfortable with a player just going along and doing their thing. Taranto was that a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Massive first half of the year. Captains were irrelevant. Could we see something like this from Bailey Smith?
No chance. And to be fair, it doesn't even matter because he's playing on a line where he's going to shit it in. So don't even think about it. We're not even giving it any airtime.
He still has Richmond twice.
Yeah, mate. It's too easy. So Bailey Smith...
He hasn't versed Richmond yet.
But yeah,
can you just fathom that for a quick second?
It's crazy. He's averaging 121. So Bailey Smith, Nick Martin, Matt Kennedy.
Yeah, Matt Kennedy. He's just a gun.
I think... I'm interested to see what Freo do, but I think Luke Jackson immediately puts himself in the conversation if they choose to play him as sole ruck.
How confident are we that that's going to be what they do?
What do you get out of... Okay, what do you get out of Sean D'Arcy versus Luke Jackson in the ruck? You get maybe a few more hit outs, you get a slightly bigger body, but is what you get from Luke Jackson...
Oh, I agree with you.
I mean, the weekend, I know he played against, you know, essentially no one, but...
Has Freo been on a little bit of a run recently, haven't they? Am I right in saying that they've been winning games?
The other name that I want to throw to you while you check your Freo run is Jack McRae. I think Jack McRae is still going to be a top six forward. I know that...
Freo have won their last five in a row. Surely they're not changing that. Like, I think Sean D'Arcy's popped in for, what, half a game?
There you go.
That's it.
So, I don't know. It's a tough one because the minute D'Arcy comes back in, then straight away we're questioning Jackson. The only thing that could save him is D'Arcy comes back in, plays very low tog, and Jackson plays midfield when D'Arcy's in the ruck. Then I'm still like, okay,
there's still an out there, isn't there?
I think there is. The only thing that... Yeah, man, I don't know. All the evidence suggests...
If I was the coach of Fremantle...
Yeah.
He'd play in the twos.
Yeah. It's cutthroat. It's got to be cutthroat.
Yeah, I mean, so, like, they're just better without him there.
Okay, well, let's add him in there. Okay, so we've got four. We've got Smith, Martin, Kennedy, Jackson.
Yeah. Petrarca.
Petrarca, or would you throw McRae a bone? Francis for me and Chad Warner, they've dropped out of contention. Isaac Rankin's nowhere near it.
I think it's Petrarca and then maybe McRae. Okay. And then the bolter... Is
place for Richmond.
No. Oh, yeah, Bolter. Yeah, different. Yeah. Well, he versed Richmond on the weekend. That's Sam D'Arcy.
Yeah.
Can he keep this up? He's averaging 89 for the season. That includes his 8. I'm going to quickly go ahead and try and find his average if you remove that 8. But he is not typically the type of player that we see being a top 6 forward. But is he built... different, Luke. I mean, he's built different.
Quite literally built different. Coming into Sydney and North Melbourne, who haven't necessarily been killing it. So, yeah. And the thing is, I mean, he kicks goals, but he almost doesn't need to. He gets high up the ground. He even gets involved at ground level. So, yeah, I think if you've traded him in the last 2 weeks, you're not moving him because there's still uncertainty around guys like Horn Francis, Chad Warner. So, he's going to score in line with them at the very least. So I think
he's averaging 100.4 on the season. If you remove that 8, that's in line with the top 8 mids that we were just talking about. Yeah,
it's pretty nuts. It is pretty nuts, in fact. So maybe wait and see on him and Grant Myers, maybe sort of 7 through 8 there.
Yeah, if you had a gun to my head, I would still put him outside the top 6, and I'd back McRae and Petrarca to out average him for the season. But maybe in this short term,
it's pretty good.
He could be a very, very nice, like, F7, you loop him on in a nice matchup, and he goes massive. You roll him in, you put the red dot on. If he goes poorly, you get the other guy in because he could have some massive scores, could still have some floor games as we've seen from key position players. But I mean, really, he could easily be there. Like I said, averaging 100.
Yeah, he's killing it. You ready to get chopping, mate?
Let's chop some players. Everybody was kung fu
fighting. Not bad. Not the best, but not bad. Who are we chopping, Mitch?
We're chopping players on their bye because this is the last bye round. So there's no other players to chop other than round 16 players. There's no future bye that you're sort of preparing for. There's no other bye round where you're really heavy on. This is it. This is the last bye round. So you really shouldn't be trading anyone who... Unless they're maybe a super underperforming rookie and they're dropped or something like that, you're getting out guys who are on their bye. So Angus Clark, Nicholas Madden needs to go. Despite his good score, I think Kyle Lohman has done his job. He can go as well. What about Zach Johnson? I sort of mentioned before that I'm trading him out. Is that too reactionary? He scored 100 just 2 weeks ago. He does come into a nice run, Gold Coast Richmond.
Yeah.
Break even is still 9.
I think it's just enough to just bump him down the priority list a little bit. So, like, for example, I've got Clark and Lohman there, and I'm
you're holding
much more likely to trade them than I am Johnson.
I agree. I still think he can go.
Yeah.
If it is the difference between you getting 22 on field or not.
Yep.
Or maybe he's more expensive than like a Boxall, maybe if you've got him still sitting there or something of that sort of type. So,
yep.
Can go, doesn't have to. Let's talk some premiums.
Ooh.
Zach Merritt. Has he punched his ticket out of our sides? He's on his bye, coming off of 50, break even 130 plus. We know he has that nice run afterwards, Gold Coast into Richmond, but...
Yeah.
Is the fact that he's just sitting on your bench for a week and he's going to go down in more cash enough for you to just trade him out to another gun?
He might not go down any more cash. The tag, obviously, on the weekend is not great, but I still don't like 50% CBA.
I don't like it either.
Zach Merritt, to me, is like 80% CBA guy. You've got one of the best midfielders in the competition, and you've got Will Setterfield taking all the CBAs.
You're not winning, but those guys in there, Caldwell, Setterfield, Parrish, like Durham's not even playing. He's not even there. Durham's going to come back into the side. Those guys don't do anything else.
Yeah, this is a trouble. Zach Merritt's guilty of being somewhat versatile. I don't know. I'm obviously not seeing this one really well because I've been saying for weeks now that they're going to realize the error of their ways. But maybe Brad Scott's being stubborn.
I think you can trade him out. I think, and maybe this is obvious to some people, yeah, he put up a 50s on his bye, trade him. I'm usually wanting to hold some of these guys. I think at this point of the season, we can't be patient. We've got to see what is happening. And I think until we see maybe a mix-up in this midfield, I'd want to get him out and hopefully get him to someone like a Jordan Dawson or someone who you know is going to be sort of right at the top there. Get that extra gameplay from a premium mid and, enjoy that.
I think the move has merit, but just know that I'm going to be trading him right in, baby. Coming off his
bye. He'll be a target at some point this season.
But everyone's going to be too scared, and I'm going to say, boom, boom.
State room.
Boom, boom, Jay.
Boom, boom.
I'm going to be in there like swimwear for Gold Coast Richmond matchup.
Now, Will Ashcroft is a guy that I think a lot of people would have penciled in as a trade out at this round. He was kind of that premium that's not quite top eight. He's good enough, but he's just kind of sat there. He did just put up a 120, I want to say, on the weekend. A 108. A 61 before that, but 113, 102. He's averaging 93 on the season. Is it a case of he's done his job, you can trade him out now, or is he someone that you could afford to hold?
I can sort of only look through the lens of my team here, and if I had him, I would probably be holding. There's worse things in my team, but I can imagine teams out there that would be very, very good looking and potentially be looking at 22 premiums already. So if he was one of those ones that you considered just under, it might be a great play to send him to a genuine premium that doesn't have the buy.
Yeah, I think I'd be happy to trade. In fact, I'd probably trade him ahead of Merritt personally. His CBAs are worse, so he's been all season bar one game when Neil got tagged below 60% CBAs. He plays for a better team, and obviously that has a big impact on scoring, but his the Merritt's run and just potential for him to be up the top there is enough for him to hold. But again, like you said, if you're in a situation where you still have rookies to upgrade and moving him delays or prevents that from happening, then I think it's fine to hold. Like, him being your size, not the end of the world come around 17.
Yeah, I mean, Merritt, obviously you mentioned the good run, and then Ashcroft is welcomed by Port Adelaide straight off the bye. So,
yeah,
a little bit less good.
Yeah, so any other round 16 premiums that you think we should be looking at trading out? Are we trading Lachie Whitfield? He's an interesting talking point because obviously he's concussed, but he's not actually going to miss any games.
Yes. Kissed.
Which so kissed.
He's been concussed, so we call him Kissed.
So he's not going to miss any games because he's going to go on that 10-day protocol. They've got a 12-day break. So he should be right to play unless the symptoms linger.
Yeah.
That's a risk. It's there. And especially someone like Whitfield, I think he's had some maybe concussions in the past. Maybe. But I was eyeing him off as a target coming off his bye round. And the concussion is hopefully not something we expect to linger. No. And before that, I mean, he was a number three captain for me. So obviously I had confidence. He comes into West Coast, Geelong, Essendon, a three-game stretch there. So it's a pretty nice run. His break-even is super high, though.
The run is like 150. The run for the rest of the season is not bad.
Yeah, I mean, he still has North, Gold Coast, Kilda, Western Bulldogs. The only thing is maybe a Sydney matchup where he might get a Jordan tag. Maybe, maybe not.
Into the spider web. Yeah, Lachie Whitfield, I think I would hold.
I think I would hold out of all three of those premiums we've talked about.
The break even there, 150 when he comes back, I get it. But if you have,
him,
Lachie Whitfield, you're not planning on trading him, so the cash in that instance doesn't really matter so much because you're not cashing out at any point.
He's one of those top 15 players, I think. So he's definitely someone I would hold, and he was doing that until his injury. It just sucks that it happened now, and you've got some few questions. But I'd be very keen to hold him, and hopefully he repays you with a big one against West Coast. He's done that before. Like, I think he put up a 190 off an injured score, maybe several years ago, but. Yeah, he can go massive on any given week.
Okay, we've chopped. It's time to bring some people into our teams. Let's talk defenders first. Who do you like the look of?
Defense is tough because a lot of the guys are expensive. We haven't had the value guys, except for maybe some new guys come through. But Josh Dacos is a potential top 6 or top 15 player that comes at a little bit of a discount. So I like him. He is doing better recently. And we always said that he could be a better halfback than a wing player coming into West Coast. I think that's a nice little matchup to start him off. The Wang, he's expensive, but I think you have to have him. He scores no matter the game situation is the thing that I like about him. Whether they get thumped, whether they're competitive, he is someone that's just ultra consistent and seems to have just taken his ceiling to another level this year.
Why wouldn't you get the ball in this guy's hands? I didn't watch on the weekend, but I'm going to say he's the best kick in the AFL.
Yeah.
I don't know. Counter me here.
I don't think the stats would suggest that because he probably takes off some really difficult
I'm looking at the eye test.
Yeah.
This guy just turns and it's penetrating.
Yep. We love penetrating Wang.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that was good. I didn't even really mean that one. It's kind of like fell into it. Yeah,
he gets it inside.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he looks 50, through, looks through the corridor.
Yeah.
You got anything else?
No, that's about it.
No, we'll get there.
Yeah, I'm sure there's something.
Long and direct? Yeah. No, there's probably something there.
I'm trying to think of something with a curve, but...
A curve?
Yeah, just... nothing.
Okay, there's a little insight from Mitch. Bit of curvature.
But no, he's just too good, I think. And I think a lot of us do have him now. But yeah, if you don't, I would make him a priority as sort of like, he's that upper echelon premium that I think a lot of us will need. Some cheaper guys, Callum Mills, we've been still umming and ahhing. He keeps getting it done.
Yeah.
Is it now, we've got three games really now for him being back scoring well. Is it enough now for you to go, okay, I'm confident enough. He's still under 800,000.
Yeah.
Can we just bring him in?
I still don't... Now, he's playing halfback, and so it sounds weird for me to say I don't love the role, but it's just that he's playing halfback where in a team where, like, Nick Blakey is that guy.
He was pushing Blakey out of some kick-ins.
Only a few. He had three, Blakey had seven, something like that. But the other thing, too, to keep in mind here with Callum Mills is that he scored 40 points in the first quarter and then sort of only 50-odd thereafter.
I know you're big on that, but I don't care as much about those sort of things. Unless there's something like real obvious, like he got a 50-minute penalty twice or something.
He's cheap. He's cheap. So I want to talk about him and McKercher as well. Would you prefer... I think you're paying a pretty similar price, am I right there?
McKercher's still cheaper.
He's still cheaper, and McKercher...
7-12.
McKercher is that guy down there if we're talking who's better.
I still prefer McKercher, and he's still cheap. He literally is still worth the price. Yeah. So I would tick off both of these players. I still would go McKercher over Mills, but either player, I think you can justify having in your side. Even if that does push a defender into your midfielder, I'd feel absolutely fine doing that. Like we said, it's... not that big of a deal this season.
Yeah, if you come out of the byes and you've got one of those two guys at D6, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely
fine. Some teams, that would be the worst thing in the world, but for teams like ours, I'd probably be pretty happy with that.
Yeah, so I think I'd be either shopping at the top or the bottom there. So Wang is like your top guy. Josh Dacos is that cheaper premium, and Mills and McKercher as well are the cheaper guys as well. A lot of the other players, you know, sort of Sheasel, your Connor Rosie, he's got a tough matchup this week. If you don't have him, you've also got like a Sinclair, a little bit of uncertainty there. A lot of guys I'd just probably pass on. Giants boys obviously on their bye, as well as Holmes. So those are sort of your targets. The midfield, I think the number one target has to be Jordan Dawson.
Yeah.
He's the only midfielder averaging 110, and he comes into a Richmond matchup. I really shouldn't have to say much more than that. I think he's the number one averaging midfielder for the game for the rest of the season. And you're going to get the easiest matchup for the rest of the season. So if you can get Jordan Dawson in and you don't have him, I would pay up for that $1.08 for $1 million. I think he will outperform that this week. And then you have what I consider to be the safest midfielder in the game for the rest of the year.
How impressed have you been with Zach Butters for the last 2 weeks? You've been an owner. It looked like it was going to be really big early in this game.
Indeed.
And it kind of petered out to a 107.
He plays for Essendon. 2 meter, Peter.
Oh, yeah. Okay, not bad. I'll pay. You're endorsing trading Zach Butters in?
I am. I saw these games as potential danger games. I'm going to trade him in anyway. But he's gotten through his tough stretch. He's gotten through the Giants 104, Bedford tag.
Yep.
Gotten through the Melbourne could be anything kind of tag, 97. Sydney, James Jordan, 107. His run opens up now. Carlton's a great matchup. I'm assuming he avoids the Chincotta tag, but they go and tag Caleb Daniels, so I don't know what they're going to do. But then Brisbane, tough, but no tag. West Coast, Hawthorn, Adelaide, Geelong. There's no sort of attention coming his way, I think, after maybe this Carlton game. So for me, at 927K, he just screams value. Yeah. He could be 10 to 15 points unders.
It's quite cheap, isn't it? So
yeah, his break-even's now settled down to 86, so I think this is his bottom in price.
Yeah,
if you're all about getting the bottom.
Are you all about getting the bottom?
No.
He's at the Oxlongs at the minute. Whether he stays there or not, we'll see.
I think he can be a top eight mid for the rest of the year, and I think if you're getting him at just above 900K, that's a great, great buy. Now, I've got a couple of names. Well, you've got a couple of names here. We'll ask me to put these names down.
Yeah.
Noah Anderson and Caleb Sarong. And these are my guys right here, because these are my uniques that did me well on the other week. So I'm a bit nervous to recommend them to others and spoil my little secret here. But what do we think about these players as guys to go on for the rest of the season? I personally feel way more confident in Noah Anderson than I do in Caleb Sarong. What say you?
Oh, I think Sarong has more upside than Anderson, and we've seen it in the last couple of weeks. There's a ceiling there when it all clicks for him. I don't think anything's changed. Has anything changed? It's just two decent matchups.
He just thrives in good matchups and when the team's playing well. And I think he's a gun player, Noah Anderson. I think he's a Brownlow type.
Oh, sorry. I was talking about Sarong.
Oh, Sarong, I don't know what's changed. I have absolutely no idea what's changed. He's just...
Okay. Well, you mentioned that Freo are on a 5-game winning run.
Yeah.
Aren't they? So in those games, 108, 97, 111, 146, 137.
Fuck, he's averaged 120 in his last five.
So is it as simple as Freo up and about, baby? Let's
surely,
go, Caleb.
He's been killing it. So 35 touches... 36 touches in his last two. I'm going to go on a limb and say he gets some attention against St Kilda from Windhager. Has to.
Yeah, I mean, he could. I don't know whether you're
just
trying.
He's also not cheap anymore. Like $1.04 million.
Yeah, and it's because of those last five games. I don't know if you're just trying to protect your pick.
Look, if you want to go him, go for it. Something about it just still makes me nervous watching him. In terms of just what I saw in the first half of the year and then just the sudden turnaround. Like, think about it. He's gone 120 in his last five. He's still averaging 99.9. Like, that's how bad he was before then.
Yeah. Yeah, great.
I don't know. I would personally go Noah Anderson for 50K less than a Caleb Sarong. Noah Anderson's averaging an extra point more on average this season. He's 50K cheaper. he's going into maybe the next three or four matchup. I don't think Noah Anderson really gets a hard tag for the next six rounds. Melbourne, Essendon, Collingwood, Adelaide, Brisbane, Richmond. I don't think any of those teams really do hard tags.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
How many games does he have at home in that stretch? He's got one, two, three, four. Four of those next six games at the Gold Coast, which a lot of people have made the connection that he plays well there. So I like Noah Anderson personally. You swap him for someone else.
My prediction about Sam Doherty being in the gun this week is not the case. Would you entertain a Sam Doherty 874K break even of 58?
Going to Port and then Collingwood, Brisbane.
That's tough.
I think you've missed the boat. I'd rather pay up an extra 50K for Butters.
Yeah, if you've missed the... it's a good point. You've missed good scores.
Yeah, you've missed the good scores. And like there's just that little doubt over either A, he's dropped, or B, Carlton are going to be throwing magnets around. Like you could see role changes. You could see different things happening, game style shifts, because things aren't working there. Coming down to the end of the stretch of the season, he might... I think things could change pretty quickly there for Doc.
Okay, to wrap things up, let's go to the forward line. Who are we trading in?
Okay, well, we talked about some of the top six guys. So Luke Jackson, if we think he's legit, is he the number one? If you missed him last week, obviously you missed a massive score. He's still under $1 million. Against St Kilda this week, Sydney, Hawthorn. I mean, he's got a decent run when it comes to rucks. There's not really a tough ruck matchup, maybe outside of Carlton. Collingwood's tough-ish. Brisbane are tough-ish. No big, like those red matchups like Gold Coast or North, which he's ironically played in the last several games and still scored well. So are we saying he's the number one trade target, break even of 68?
I think if he is in that role, I'm really interested to see what comes out of Freo this week. So Darcy missed, am I right, on the weekend as like more managed. Of a precautionary thing? So what does managed mean? Because managed for a week...
Managed, this guy sucks and we don't want him?
It kind of, I think, insinuates that he's back this week. But if we start to hear...
I mean, much can change when you watch the game and go, oh, crap.
No, I agree. And that's why I want to hear what comes out of Freo this week. Do we get an interview with coaching staff that sort of says, wow, we really like the look that Jackson gives us as our number one ruckman. Darcy's going to have to go back and earn a game. I'm very interested. If he's not named and there's some word out of Freo, then I reckon Luke Jackson, fuck me.
Yeah, I mean, he could be the guy. It really was a good trade last week. I have less confidence in it this week. He went up 53K, so he's not cheap. Really anymore. So I don't know if I'd be shopping in the forward line. I mean, it depends on where your last premium is. So if you need the last premium in the forward line, I think he's probably the number one pick. Or would you prefer to save 150K and go to Sam Darcy?
Yeah, I guess that 150K makes a difference, and it will likely make a difference next week as well. There's some cheap options.
I think I'd almost go there. Save 150. Maybe not.
The trouble is, like, Luke Jackson, depending on the whims of the Freo coaching staff, Luke Jackson is one selection away from being a 60 guy. If they decide that they want to go Darcy and Jackson as a forward.
Feels different. Feels different this year.
It feels different because he was able to play that midfield role when Darcy was in the ruck. Yeah. And when Darcy has played, it's obviously been low game time as well.
And I just feel like we're finally seeing it reflect the results on the field in terms of Freo's wins and losses.
Yeah.
I feel like in the past that hasn't changed their results as much.
Yeah. Everyone's singing his praises too.
Yeah. Am I right in saying one of them's a free agent soon? Or out of contract soon? Either him or Sean.
Not sure.
I can't remember. But anyway, I think if I had the choice and I had the money, I'd probably go Jackson. But Sam Darcy is a great second choice. I just worry that maybe it was a matchup thing. I mean, Sydney North are still decent. in terms of matchups for key forwards. I'm going to have a look at their quick little run here on DFS Australia for key forwards, the Western Bulldogs. So Sydney's a neutral matchup. North is a bright green. Adelaide is a bright red. Okay, so Adelaide's the only red matchup that they've got for the rest of the year. You do have Brisbane and Melbourne as sort of orange matchups, but in there you also have a West Coast, Essendon, North, Sydney. These teams are all pretty easy, I would have thought. It just does go against the rules I normally like to follow.
If you wanted to go between those two guys, Darcy and Jackson, could you go McRae outside of Hawthorn in the next little bit? Good run. Let me read some teams to hear. So it goes Freo, Hawthorn, Sydney, Geelong, Melbourne, North Melbourne, Richmond, Essendon.
That's pretty good.
And then his last game of the year is GWS.
So, yeah, you could. I mean, 104 and 71% TOG.
I said this as well last week. McRae, because of McRae's obnoxious ceiling, you can afford a few kind of 90s in there as well, because even to
and
start
in the forward line, it's like whatever.
Like, you know, sort of looking at some of these numbers to start the year, he's got 153 and a 139 in his first kind of 10 games. And while there's some stinky scores there, they don't look so stinky because of those big
ceilings. Yeah, I mean, he's averaging 98 for the season. It'll wash out in the end. Yeah, I think he, Petrarca's there if you don't have him. I think I'd prefer Petrarca, personally. I mean, Gold Coast seems like a good matchup for him. Just seems like he's got a higher floor in my eyes, but
Petrarca hasn't turned up in his last, or he's turned up once in his last six.
That's kind of the same as McRae, though. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know, maybe that's just me favouring the better footballer in my eyes. And I think there's some logic to that because he's not going to change his role as much, like, or is standing in the team.
I don't think McRae's role is changing at all. There's only one role he plays, and he was recruited.
There's no one really to replace him, is there? Fair enough. I think they're both fairly similar, but yeah. I think he probably would be choosing between the two big guys there in Jackson or Darcy. Personally, I think there's probably better options maybe in the midfield. I think there's a lot of nice midfield options this week. So, of course, if your last non-premium position is the forward line, then you're probably going to have to go there. But if you had the choice, I think I'd be shopping in the midfield this week. But still a bit to think about. A lot of water to go under the bridge, as they say, Luke. So that will do it for us today, guys. Thank you very much for tuning in. And apologies for no review podcast last week. We had some things going on, some life events, as some might say. But we are back, and we are going to be finishing out the season strong as I march towards the top 100, and Luke continues to sit there and look pretty. Thank you very much, guys. Make sure you like and subscribe. We'll see you guys on Friday. Bye.